Greetings. Welcome to the Relmada Therapeutics, Inc. conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. Please note this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the conference over to your host, Brendan Weisman, with Earth Communications. Brendan, you may begin.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you for everyone for showing up to the call today for Relmada Therapeutics. We're really excited. We have the CEO here, Sergio Traversa. He is going to talk about the company. It's a late-stage biotech with two high-valued clinical assets, one here in phase II, heading into phase III, just had some good results, some good data, and I don't want to take up too much of the talking points, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Sergio.
Thank you, Brendan. As always, good afternoon. It's Sergio Traversa speaking, and thanks for taking the time after the market close. And I'm here. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Relmada Therapeutics. I've been here since the very first day, was back in 2012, and the company has been public since 2014 and went to NASDAQ in 2019. And I have with me, Maged Shenouda is our chief financial officer. So if you have any questions about money, he would be very happy to answer. Listen, I'll give you the brief overview and like 10 minutes of what we do and why it is worth to take a look at Relmada as of today, even if the share price doubled in the last few days. And there is still a lot of room to go. It was just a forgotten stock, and now it's getting back to life. And so the reason, look, the story is it's very, very simple. And it's so simple, even I understood it. And I just bought like 250,000 shares last week. So I brought my all holding at 1 million round. That is about 3% of the company. That's all share purchased. Now, no option. Now, that's all come all from my personal capital. And I do believe there is still a lot of upside here. So why we should look at Relmada now? We have a history on the central nervous system. We did a program in depression, didn't work. We tried really hard. We just decided to change quite a bit, completely what we do, and take a lot less risk and be a lot more on solid ground. This high-risk program, they're more for Pfizer, Merck, maybe J&J, but you know, as a company with like a limited amount of assets, we really don't want to take unnecessary risk, but we want also to have a big upside. So we purchased with the cash that we had, and thank God we still have, we purchased two assets. We have still a NASDAQ listing, and we preserved the development team. So we did four phase three trials in the past, over 2,000 patients. So, I mean, we have quite a bit of experience in developing products. We acquired two assets. One is in CNS. I won't talk about it today. We'll have time in the future to discuss about it. This asset is it's a sepranolone. It's ready to go in phase two sometime in the first half of next year. And the reason that I will postpone the conversation on this is because the other asset is called NDV-01. It is a lot later stage. And I don't want to say we have been surprised, but the level of interest that we found after we acquired this asset from a tiny small company in Israel is really amazing. And we are talking about bladder cancer. Now, bladder cancer, just 2 seconds on what bladder cancer is quite a bit different from the traditional like concept of cancer. A reason being that it's not a deadly cancer. The life of a patient with bladder cancer, it's an average of 10 years. 90% of the patient, over 90%, is alive after 5 years. So it's not a deadly cancer, but that doesn't mean that it's not a serious issue. And the feature of bladder cancer is that if it is treated, of course, if it's not treated, it's like every other cancer. But if it is treated appropriately, you have a very high survival rate. And the only thing is that has a feature of recurring, right? Half of the patients, or close to half of the patients, can recur after 12 months, and up to 80% of the patients recur in the first 5 years. So it keeps on coming back. Typical of like men, and on a little bit late in the age, and mostly smoker or anybody that has in contact with kind of toxic substances that accumulate in the bladder, and long term they generate these changes in the bladder linen in the inside. And he usually, if he's treated, he doesn't go around, no metastasis. The goal is really not survival, that is a survivable cancer, but is to preserve the bladder, because if it's not treated appropriately, ultimately you have to take the bladder out. And to live, the quality of life living without a bladder is really, really poor. And I don't know if you know anybody that does not have the bladder, but it's not a good life. With that said, there are various, like the pathing, the, well, let me first tell you how many there are. There are about 800,000 people living with bladder cancer in the United States. And there are about 70, 80,000 new cases every year, but they accumulate because it keeps on recurring, but it's not lethal. And there are about 100,000 surgery for bladder cancer every year in the United States. So it's a pretty sizable patient population. And the patient journey, right? Usually it starts with finding some weird cell and or some blood in the urine. So the patient goes to the doctor, to the urologist, get tested, and if testing the cells, if there is blood, or it shows up if there is a cancer inside the bladder. It's pretty slow in development, so it's not something that, like, you go to the and you get diagnosed and you panic, and but it needs to be taken care. So after you get diagnosed, pretty much every patient has at least one surgery. Surgery, they put an instrument in your bladder and they scrap the inside of your bladder. This surgery is not a major surgery, but it still lasts half an hour to an hour. Need general anesthesia, so with all the consequences. And if you have to do it, like there are patients that do like five of these in 3 years, it becomes a big, big burden. But at least one surgery is necessary for every patient to be sure that you know what the cancer looks like, and you try to take it away at least one time. After surgery, many patients, they go to therapy, and therapy is BCG, that is a vaccine that they put it in the bladder and generate an immune response that should reduce the recurrence of the cancer. It does work. It has quite a bit of side effect because, like, it's immunotherapy. So if you put a vaccine, a live bacterial virus in your bladder, it's not the most pleasant thing, but it's somewhat it works. And after this, or instead of BCG, the vast majority of the patients, they use chemotherapy local. So the doctor make a solution of, you know, chemotherapy. In the past, mitomycin was used. Now they use gentamicin, or the one that works the best is the combination gentamicin and docetaxel, called gendosi. That's what we do. But they wash the bladder with this solution, and they do it recurrently or after surgery. So, and they do it, they keep on doing it over time to prevent recurrence. Now, the therapy works very well. The issue is that the patient usually is an old patient, and it has to stay in the doctor's office 4, 5, 6 hours to take the chemotherapy, and because then he goes to the bathroom and he goes away. The duration of the contact of the cancer with the chemotherapy is very limited, couple of hours. So it does work, the data are good, but still, like, it's only the treatment stays a couple of hours in contact with the tumor. And one of the third limitation is that these are toxic substances. They cannot, like, mix in a doctor's office. They need a pharmacy that prepares the solution, and they pass it to the doctor. That most of the urologists, they work in their office, so they don't have this facility. So all in all, chemotherapy is very frequent, but it's complicated to make it. It is burden for the patients and burden for the doctor, and it needs to be done, like, on a recurrent basis. So that's where we come into play. Right, the treatment is gendosi, gemcitabine, and docetaxel, and it is it is the most effective of all the therapies, and is also the least used because you have to do them in sequence, and so it's 2 hours for each, and for a total of 4, 5, 6 hours in the doctor's office. and it's usually done in clinics and in hospital. But everybody would like to use it because it's the most effective. And so to overcome the issues, this Israeli company that we acquired the rights has made the same therapy in a gel. It's a gel that is formed within the bladder, and the consequences or the advantages are, number one, is the prefilled syringes. There are two prefilled syringes that come to the doctor office already prepared, open the package, and put the content of the syringe in the bladder together, one after the other. Literally, and we have seen how they do it, we say it takes less than 10 minutes. It actually takes less than 5 minutes. So in 15, 20 minutes, the patient can go back home. That is a big, big advantage. No need to prepare the solution. It's already come prepared. So no need to go in a pharmacy or an hospital pharmacy. And there is no need for a doctor. A nurse can do the therapy. So this is a huge advantage for doctor, for patients. And a collateral advantage is that this therapy is done every 2 weeks for 3 months. So it's 6 administration and one every 2 weeks for the first 3 months. And there is no need to take it out. It dissolved in a couple of weeks. So you just come back to the office and you do it again in 10 minutes. And the contact, so the chemotherapy stays in contact with the tumor. Instead of the traditional 2-3 hours, it stays like for like 1 week up to 10 days. And that shows we expected data to be very good because of everybody knows the chemotherapy works, and the contact with the tumor is a lot longer than whatever is used traditionally. And we have data now of 6 months with one patient and 9 is 28 patients. So data 6 months, 90% of the patients are tumor-free. That's a big, big result. We'll go all the way to 12 months, but you know, at 6 months already showed that the treatment is very, very, very efficacious. And so easy to use, works really well. We did over 200 administration. No one single patient had an issue, a serious issue, and no one stopped the treatment because of side effects. So it's very well tolerated, easy to use, and it works really well. The plan is we asked the FDA, we proposed the FDA a plan. It is what the competitor that is already on the market, Urogen, has done. They got it approved with one single trial with no placebo, no comparator. We propose the same thing. Before year-end, the FDA will give us that feedback if they let us go ahead or not. And we hope that there is no reason why they should not, because they just approved a drug based on that. And after that, we just brought on board two U.S. manufacturers. The drug was made in Israel before in small batches. Now we are like at the clinical and commercial batches in preparation. They will deliver the product by end of Q1 next year, and we'll be able to go in registration trial. The study should, if everything goes as we expect, it should last about 12 months, and it's going to be a single study if the FDA agrees. And we'll be up to the race. I'll give you a couple of numbers, and these are not projections, but come from, there are two competitors outside. They do this kind of therapy. One is Urogen. They just got approved. Company's worth about $1 billion, and we do believe our product is better. Their product lasts like 4 to 6 hours. Our product lasts 1 week to 10 days in the bladder, so it's a big, big advantage. But their product works well. They got approval. They just said yesterday at the Wells Fargo conference that they expect the drug to sell about $1 billion within the next within the next 5 years. So that's a pretty come from Urogen, so doesn't come from us. Second competitor not approved yet is Johnson & Johnson. They use a different kind of technique. Instead of a gel like Urogen and like Relmada, they have a piece of plastic that is called they call it a pretzel. It's a piece of plastic that contains gemcitabine, so only one component, and they do it also every couple of weeks. What's the drawback or the issue they have? It's that you need anesthesia to put it in, then you come back after 2 weeks and you have to take it out to replace it with another one. So you go to two anesthesia in 2 weeks for like 3 months. So, I mean, it has side effect because you feel it is a piece of plastic in your bladder, but it works well. So they say their product, their projection is $2 to $5 billion. Now, these are Johnson & Johnson, nothing to do with us. We're not going to give you what the revenues of NDV-1 will be. We'll see, but you know, the comparisons are pretty healthy. So one says 1 billion, the other one says 2 to 5. So, right, there is no reason why our product looks definitely better. So there is no reason why we should not be competing with these numbers. With that said, I think we can go, you know, we can take your question. Corporate-wise, we finished last quarter with about 20 million in cash. No debt. We have 34 million shares outstanding, and we have about 40% institutional ownership. And that's pretty it, right? So it's rather liquid, so it is tradable. Today it trades like a million and some change, so it's a buyable stock. So I'll be happy to take your questions, and we go from there.
Certainly. Brandon. Thank you. At this time, we will be conducting a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Once again, that will be star 1 on your phone at this time if you wish to ask a question. And please hold while we poll for questions. Once again, that is star 1 if you wish to ask a question today. The first question is coming from Ken Londoner from Endicott. Ken, your line is live.
Hi, Sergio. How are you?
Hey, good to hear again.
Yeah, nice to speak to you. On this trial that you're doing, how many patients? It's going to be a year. What are the endpoints you're looking for?
Give you the caveat is that we don't have the blessing from the FDA yet. We just proposed. But what we proposed is one study, about 200 patients, and the endpoint is cancer-free survival at 3 months. And this is supposed to replace surgery. So instead of doing surgery, you do our NDV-01, and after 3 months from like the therapy, you look at the patients and we see how many patients will be cancer-free.
And was that enough to get Urogen their approval?
Yes, the FDA will most likely ask for 12 months follow-up, but the primary endpoint is 3 months. Yes, Urogen got approved with the same exact study.
Yeah, and 200 patients is roughly what in terms of dollars, in terms of cost?
Look, the rule of thumb, and we did a lot of these studies, you can assume $100,000 per patient, so it would be like 20.
So that's
$20 million, we assume 25 just like, to be on the safe side. That's the range.
And last question, what is your philosophy or thought process on how you'll finance the trial?
First of all, we want to know what the FDA will tell us, because that will allow us to understand how much money, how much time, how many patients, or the details of the studies. And then there are various ways, right? We got interested from potential partners. Clearly, I mean, interest doesn't mean anything until you have something on the table, but it's a product that is, you know, it stimulates the appetite of like whoever company is in the urology space. So that could be an option if one day we'll get some proposal, and or we'll do it like an equity financing like traditional. Hopefully not at this valuation, because once the FDA will sign on the development plan, we do believe that the value of the company will, you know, give more justice. We are worth 50 million now, 40. 45, that range. Urogen is a billion. I know they are 2-3 years in front of us, but we have a good product, and right, the gap in valuation is huge. That's why we'll share last week, right?
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you. And once again, if there were any questions, please press star 1 on your phone. That's star 1 if you wish to ask a question on today's call. There were no other questions from the lines at this time. I'd like to hand the call over to Brendan Wiseman, who has some email questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a question from someone that could make it. Actually, two questions, if you don't mind, Sergio.
Not at all.
All right, so the first one is the NDV, you know, the bladder cancer drug, it addresses both high risk and low and intermediate risk bladder cancer. What segment do you think is going to be the fastest route to market, and which one represents the largest commercial upside?
Yeah, that's a great question. Initially we'll go for intermediate risk because the goal is to replace as many surgery as possible. And clearly from a urologist perspective, if they are to replace surgery, they don't take the risk on going high risk. And it's called chemoablation, right? You use chemotherapy instead of surgery. So the intermediate risk, and that's probably the largest of the segment, most likely can be expanded to low risk.
Okay.
The number is big, right? The number of patients is sizable. Just to give you an example, Urogen, their product, that has been expanded the label now, but the old label is for a tiny indication, is a rare cancer and of the duct between the kidney and the bladder. They treat about 400 patients and it sells 100 million. And
okay.
So you assume there are 100,000 surgery a year in the United States. So even a small fraction of that make big numbers. Cost, I mean, Urogen charges 21,000 for each therapy, for each treatment, and they do 12 a year, so.
Right. Actually, just bringing up Urogen, and I think it was asked by Ken earlier, but they had a single-arm study, right? Do you think that you're going to have the same, pretty much the same exact guidelines for the trial?
Well, that's a great question. We hope, right? They got approval with one study, no comparison. They do 240 patients, I believe, very good data. And we proposed exactly the same thing. So, right, it's very difficult to predict the FDA, but there is no, like, big issues related. Product is safe, and we did 200 treatments plus, and no issues with safety. Gendosi, the chemotherapy, everybody knows that it works really well. And so nobody's asking about, is the product, there is efficacy. Everybody knows there is efficacy. It's been used for many years. So
right.
We hope
it's not a new, it's not a new formulation. You're just combining drugs and giving a different delivery platform. Is that right?
Instead of having a solution that it lasts, you have to stay 5-6 hours in the office and it lasts 2 hours as a treatment, we give a gel that is given every 2 weeks for 3 months, so 6 therapies, is done in less than 10 minutes, and the therapy lasts 1 week to 10 days. So it's a big advantage.
Perfect.
That's really,
I think we have
a couple more
questions in the queue. We got one from Ken and then another one, so I'm going to leave it up to those guys. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Brandon.
Okay, we did have a follow-up from the lines coming from Ken Londoner from Endicott. Ken, your line is live.
Yeah, hi. Sergio, a couple more questions. Do you have any patent overlap with Urogen? I know they're very aggressive on how they enforce their patents. So I know the founder of Urogen. It's an old friend of mine.
Oh, yeah. Who is Bensur?
Asher Holt.
I went to school with Ben. And I know his father as well. He's a great, great guy. Yeah, no, the straight answer is no. We did the IP work before we in-licensed the product. We acquired the rights. And according to our IP firm, legal firm, there is no overlapping. The two products are completely different. Their product is a thermogel, so they freeze it, becomes liquid, and they put it in bladder, become a gel. And our product is two components, and you put them one after the other in 10 minutes in the bladder, and the gel is formed within the bladder. Completely different technology. And they use mitomycin. We use gencitabine and docetaxel. So there is really no overlapping. So straight answer is no. According to our lawyer, there is no correlation between.
Second question, and I know this is a hard one to answer. If you were to guesstimate the response from the FDA, if you were to get a positive response to move the trial forward, when would that happen?
Realistically, we hope we'll get an answer by our earning call sometime in mid-November. That's realistic answer. Because we'll discuss with the FDA, but then you have to wait for the minutes. So we don't want to take the risk to say something without having in writing. So you assume mid-November is a fair timeline.
And do you, forgive me for not knowing the answer to this, do you have an active shelf registration on file with the SEC?
We do have a shelf registration, yes. My CFO is saying yes.
So if the stock were to run, you'd be able to do a financing pretty quickly?
I believe so, yeah. Right. Yeah, we are not planning to do it definitely before the FDA answer. I do be honest, Ken, at some point we have $20 million in the bank. We need more than that. At some point we will have to finance, but we'll try to do when we have a lot more certainty in what the program will look like in terms of time and money. So, yes, we can do a financing very quickly. Don't expect anything. We can waking up in the morning and find Ramada doing financing anytime soon. That's not going to happen.
No, I'm not. I'm not worried about that. The last thing I would say is you had made a comment in your prepared remarks regarding some interest from Israel. Is that accurate? Did I hear that correctly?
No, the program we acquired it from an Israeli company called Prigon. It is really two people, and I do believe one of the two worked at Urogen in the past, so he's very familiar with the program, and they work with us. So we acquired rights, and we brought the two founders at Ramada, so they work together with us. Israel is the originator. Well, I think it was University of Tel Aviv that invented the technology. It's very elegant. Yeah. I mean, it's so simple, and it took a long time. They tried, I heard they tried 1,000 different formulations before they found this. And but it's very, very simple, and we like simple things.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Go ahead, Brian.
Thank you, and once again, if there were any other questions on today's call, please press star 1 on your phone. Once again, if you did have any questions, please press star 1 on your phone at this time, and we will hold while we pull for further questions. Once again, if there were any final questions for today's call, that's star 1. And there were no other questions from the lines at this time. I'll now hand the call back to Sergio Traversa for closing remarks.
Well, a big thank you for staying late after market close, and hopefully we'll speak again soon. We are fairly available. If there is any further questions, so feel free. So big thank you.
Thank you, and this does conclude today's conference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.